Hello again there, folks. So I've wanted for quite some time now to analyse a couple of films. One's a remake of the other, and that's the Cape Fear films. And I wanted to do that because I think you can get a snapshot of the changes which have happened in over the course of the last 50 years or so in American society. And so Cape Fear, the first one, which I'll get into just a minute, and they've both got the same plot, which is that a convict comes out of jail after being betrayed by his lawyer and stalks and harasses the family of the lawyer, and it ends up in a big confrontation at the end. And in the first one, though, with Gregory Peck and Robert Mitchum is Sam Cady, the villain, and Gregory Peck is the family man called Sam Bowden. And in the first one, there's just a huge difference between that one and the one that Scorsese made in 1991, and it's primarily that in the first one, it's a story of a meek man who isn't used to fighting for himself and fighting his own battles, being forced into a situation where he has to because he has this outside predator sort of looking the wrong way at his daughter, eyeing up his wife, and generally being a nuisance and quite intimidating. But the problem that he has is he is a good man, but he isn't used to fighting his own battles, and he's a meek man. And so it's a morality tale of the meek man who's let down by the system, who has to fight for himself, and he is let down by the system. There's an argument, a bit of a libertarian argument to be made there, because he's paid his taxes, he's very middle class, he's the perfect citizen, but when he actually needs the system that he supported all his life, it's let him down and he's left on his own to ward off the outside predator. But except for that, it all boils down to the fact that he has to fulfill his role as the man of the family, and the rest of the family unit is an absolute perfect example of a nuclear family from the early 50s, the early 60s. His wife never doubts him, his daughter is obedient, and in order to safeguard that, he has to step up to the plate and find what's in him to stand up for himself and fight this outside predator which is threatening his family, and eventually he does it. So it's a sort of lesson that the system will let you down, and when it does, you have to become a man and you have to overcome your fears and protect your family in a sort of primordial way, in a way where you are just going to be one man slugging it out with another man because he's coming to take and threaten what's yours. But then when we get into the second one by Martin Scorsese in the early 90s, it's a completely different kettle of fish, because now it's still both of these movies are completely white as well. Diversity isn't really an issue here at all. But again, it's a perfect, it's a middle class family. But what we see is that the wife has got a career of her own. She doesn't really respect Sam Bowden anymore, this time played by Nick Nolte. And Jessica Lange plays the wife. And she sort of thinks he's a bit of a joke. She thinks he's a coward. And he is. He is as well. He's a really bad father figure. He has affairs behind his wife's back. The daughter is a bit of a little nymphet, and the wife herself is a neurotic drunk, popping pills. And so this means that when the predator arrives this time in the guise of Robert De Niro, the family is already at war with itself before he even arrives. And they have an absolute nightmare. But not more than that is that Max Cady, the villain, is also something completely different. De Niro's Max Cady is much more sadistic and violent and thuggish, but also at the same time intelligent than Robert Mitchum's one. So something huge has happened in American society, and what it seems to be is that the Cultural Revolution of the 1960s has happened. The first Cape Fear happens before the Cultural Revolution, and the second one by Scorsese in the early 90s is after the Cultural Revolution. And in fact, Nick Nolte and Jessica Lange actually sort of make jokes about how they had this wild youth and they smoked pot and went to all of these hippie concerts. So they were part of that. They were part of that scene, and they are boomers. And I know it's sort of fashionable to bash the boomers, but in this case, it just can't be avoided. What you're seeing is the boomers growing up, becoming part of the system, but they've been sort of hollowed out and degenerated by the values of the Cultural Revolution of the 60s. You can see the effects that it's had on the nuclear family. In this, that's the primary difference between the two of them. And so the outside threat is represented by Robert Mitchum in the first one, and it's just a case of Sam finding courage to stand up against the outside threat after the Cultural Revolution of the 60s, when all of these structures of society have been drastically weakened. We see that when the outside threat arrives, it's quite easy pickings, and they're at war with each other, and they don't really know how to defend themselves. The wife doesn't trust the husband. The husband doesn't think much of his wife. The daughter's a little tart. It's a complete shambles. It's a complete mess. But a nice touch as well is that Cady himself has sort of, he's been wrongfully, well, not wrongfully, but he's been betrayed by Nick Nolte's lawyer and been in jail. And while in jail, he's been literally through hell. And he went in as a sort of illiterate hillbilly, and he's come back out as this sort of, he's got like tattoos from the Bible and Nietzsche all over his body, and he refers to it that he's been like unmanned and created again, basically. He's been through such the nihilism and barbarism that he's come out of it a new man, and he's returned to punish the Bowden family for their sins, not just in betraying him, but in a, there's a wider point to be made about what they themselves have become, that they themselves have lost the path and they have become degenerate and weak, and he does punish them for it as well. So he's kind of woke to the general state of the society, and he's frequently tells them that he's going to make them understand what it is they've thrown away and learn it once again. And he cleverly plays on these middle-class bourgeois morality as well. So he picks up the girl that Nick Nolte has been having an affair with, and he tells her that he's been to jail, but he tells her that he's been to jail for protesting against a nuclear power plant, and a policeman beat up a woman, so he thumped the policeman. Again, so he knows exactly how these bourgeois liberals, kind of how they're put together by this culture, and he dissects it. And of course, in the end, they do go through absolute hell, and what they only at the very brink of the daughter and Jessica Lange being raped, does overcome it. And and De Niro kind of lets himself be drowned, because while he's sort of gabbling away in this sort of weird language, and he goes down with the boat at Cape Fear, and it's as if his mission has been fulfilled. And to me, it says something about Western society at large, where the European people have undergone, as a whole, have undergone this process of degeneracy, and we've become weak, and the punishing force, the retribution for that, is arriving on the shores of Europe and coming through the media, left, right, and centre. And it's a chance for us to kind of break through this and come out stronger and better on the other side of it. I definitely think that a lot of Martin Scorsese's sort of Catholic reactionism, reactionary ideas, which he has in a lot of these films, or in this, which are about guilt and redemption. And it's very interesting to just see these two films placed back to back like that, and you can really see the decay of Western society. Of course, even Scorsese's Cape Fear was nigh on 30 years ago now, and what a third installment would look like with another 30 years of decay and rot is anybody's guess. I'm sure the people in the comments will have ideas about what that would be like now. But just to see this through this Scorsese sort of reactionary prism is very interesting. And normally when I do these kind of movie takes, I do get let the caveat of saying, well, I don't know if this was intended by the director, but this is an interesting way to look at it. And in the case of the, I think it was intended. I think it's, given what Scorsese's views are, given his other movies and this recurring theme of guilt and redemption, and the biblical references throughout Cape Fear, it seems quite clear what he was going at here. A Western society and the family has gone through, become a wreck, and we will get through it, but it's going to be really, really tough. Okay, folks, thanks for listening, and I'll catch you later.